Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, the verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We read in connection with this the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3, question and answer 8. The question is asked, Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? And the answer is, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Dear friends, how sinful are we? The Heidelberg Catechism answers that question in Lord's Day 3, question and answer 8. The question is asked, Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Having stated that the fault for the fall of man lies not with God but with man, and having stated that as a result of the fall of man we are all conceived and born in sin, our catechism wants to know if there is any spark of goodness left in man at all. Are we not capable of doing any good? Are we really so bad? And the answer of our catechism is absolutely devastating, but also absolutely true. Indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. The catechism here makes reference to regeneration. It says that as a result of the fall into sin, we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness, and we will remain in that condition unless we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. What is regeneration? Regeneration, narrowly defined, is that work of the Holy Spirit whereby he implants into the heart of a sinner a principle of spiritual life, enabling him to respond to the call of the gospel in faith and repentance. By nature, man is spiritually dead. He is utterly incapable of responding to the call of the gospel to repent and believe. In order for man to respond to this call, the Holy Spirit must enable him to respond. And this is what the Spirit of God does in regeneration. He quickens the dead sinner. He makes him alive, spiritually alive, enabling him to respond to the gospel in faith and repentance. Now, Jesus speaks of this in our text chapter. Early in Jesus' ministry, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and informed him that he was convinced that Jesus was a teacher sent from God, for he had seen his miracles, and no one could do such miracles unless God was with him. Jesus, however, wanted to talk about something far more important. What was it? What did Jesus want to speak to Nicodemus about? He wanted to speak to him about being born again, another term for regeneration. And it is to this subject that I ask your attention this morning. The theme for the sermon is Jesus teaches Nicodemus about regeneration. And we'll see that he teaches him concerning the necessity of regeneration, Secondly, concerning the nature of regeneration. And thirdly, concerning the evidence of regeneration. The first thing Jesus emphasizes in his conversation with Nicodemus is the necessity of regeneration. Regeneration is absolutely necessary for everyone. Jesus emphasizes this several times. In verse 3, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Notice how Jesus prefaces his comment. He says, "Verily, verily." In the Greek, it is amen, amen, sometimes translated truly, truly. Jesus uses this expression several times in the Gospels to underscore the importance of what he is saying. And he does the same here as well. He prefaces what he is about to say to Nicodemus with verily, verily. In other words, he's calling on Nicodemus to pay close attention to what he was about to say, because it is very, very important. Well, what is it that is so important? Jesus tells us, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in this context is equivalent to having everlasting life or being saved. The word see has the sense of to know or to be acquainted with. And so what Jesus is saying is this, unless a man is born again, he cannot come to know or to be even acquainted with salvation. Notice the word that Jesus uses here. He cannot. He doesn't say this is unlikely. He says you cannot. Seeing the kingdom of God is beyond your capability. You can show it to someone. You can describe it to him. You can urge him to enter into it. But unless that person is born again, he simply cannot do so. What is more, Jesus says this is true for everyone. He says, except a man. By means of this expression, Jesus emphasizes that regeneration is necessary for everyone. It is not only Gentiles who need to be born again, so do the Jews, including great teachers of the law and Pharisees like Nicodemus. It is not just great sinners who need to be born again, so do lesser sinners. It is not just people in Jesus' day who need to be born again, so do people today. Except a man, any man, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus emphasizes this again in verse 5. In response to Nicodemus' question, how it is possible for a man to be born twice, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, it is not clear what Jesus means by the word water. Some have said he is referring to the water of baptism. But that cannot be, since that would make baptism indispensable to salvation, which we know is not the case. The thief on the cross was not baptized, and yet Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Perhaps the best explanation is to interpret this against the background of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, water was often used as a symbol of purification. And that is probably the meaning here. So to be born of water means to be inwardly purified by the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is saying is that one must not only be born again, as he says in verse 3, he must also be inwardly purified and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which is really another way of speaking about regeneration. Now notice the progression in thought here. Previously in verse 3, Jesus said that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But now he takes this one step further. Not only can he not see the kingdom of God, he cannot enter into it either. Again, Jesus uses the word cannot. It is beyond his capability. It is something he is simply not able to do. The only way a man can enter into the kingdom of God is if he is born of water and of the Spirit. Jesus further underscores this in verse 7. There he says to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Obviously, Nicodemus was amazed at Jesus' teaching. Throughout his entire life, he believed that salvation was something to be earned, namely by obedience to the law of God. But Jesus says salvation is not a matter of what you do, but of what you are. In order to be saved, you need to be changed. And this change is so comprehensive that it is like being born all over again. Then Jesus makes what is perhaps his strongest statement yet. He says to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Now many people interpret this as a command, as though Jesus here was commanding people to be born again. But that is not correct. If Jesus was issuing a command, he would have used the imperative mood in the Greek. But he does not do so. He uses the indicative mood, meaning he is simply making a statement of fact. He is stating as a simple fact that all men must be born again. Besides, to say that Jesus was commanding people to be born again would not make sense in light of the context. Throughout the entire discourse, Jesus has been using the passive voice. He's been emphasizing that regeneration is not our work, but the work of the Holy Spirit. A man is not born again in and of himself. He is born again by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus' teaching is clear. A man must be born again. Unless he is born again, he cannot see, much less enter into, the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? That is because man by nature is spiritually dead. That means he is utterly incapable of responding to the call of the gospel to repent and believe. Nor does he want to. Man wants to live for himself. He wants to do the things that he wants to do, not the things that God wants him to do. Man by nature is at enmity against God. And if he is not changed, if he is not born again, if he is not radically transformed from the inside out, then he cannot be saved. He will perish in the flames of hell. You and I, therefore, must be born again. We must be radically changed. That is the clear teaching of the Lord Jesus in this passage. Now, what is the nature of this change? We turn to that under our second point. We've already observed that in regeneration, a change takes place in the heart of a dead sinner. By this change, the sinner is enabled to respond to the call of the gospel to repent and believe. Now, what kind of change is this? How can we describe it? Well, we can say several things. We can say, first of all, that the change that Jesus describes here is an instantaneous change. By this I mean it is not a gradual process. We are regenerated instantly, not over a period of time. This is clear from Ephesians 2, verse 5. There, Paul describes regeneration as a quickening or a making alive. In the original Greek, the tense of the verb that is used here describes a momentary, instantaneous action, like taking a snapshot with a camera. We were dead, then, in an instant, we were made alive. Regeneration, therefore, is an instantaneous change. We may not always be aware of it, but it happens all at once. Secondly, it is a supernatural change. By this I mean, regeneration is not something we do. It is not a work of man. It is a work of God. Specifically, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is clearly taught in our text passage. John 3, verse 3, Jesus says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The verb here is in the passive voice. Except a man be born again. The idea is that man cannot make himself to be born again. God must do this for him. Also, the word translated again can also be translated from above. Except a man be born from above. This only serves to reinforce the idea that man cannot do this himself, The source of the new birth is from above. It is from God Himself. Another verse, John 3, verse 5. Jesus says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Once again, the passive voice is used. Be born of water and of the Spirit, which, as we saw, is simply another way of speaking about regeneration. The point is that this work is not the work of man, it is the work of the Spirit. Previously, in verse 3, Jesus said this birth was from above, and now he specifies this and says it is from the Spirit. Thirdly, this change is a radical change. The word radical comes from the Latin word radix, meaning root. When we say that regeneration is a radical change, we mean that it is a change that affects the very root of our nature. In regeneration, the sinner is completely transformed. He is changed from the inside out, from the very core, from the very root of his being. Paul teaches this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. He writes, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When a sinner is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, he becomes, in every sense of the word, a new creature. His life after regeneration is so startlingly different from his life before regeneration that it is like he has been recreated. It is like he is a completely different person. Fourthly, this change is a subconscious change. By this we mean we are not always aware when we were born again. Now, to be sure, some are. Some can pinpoint the exact date, time, and circumstance of their regeneration. But most people, especially those who were raised in the Church of Christ, simply cannot do so. In such cases, people are normally regenerated gradually, slowly. Therefore, we say that regeneration is a subconscious change. And that is implied in the verb to be born. You do not remember when you were born. And so it is in regeneration. We do not always know when exactly we were born again. Nor does it matter. What matters is not when we were born again, but whether we have been born again. Fifthly, this change is a mysterious change. By mysterious, we mean we cannot always explain how the Holy Spirit works this grace in us. This is implied by what Jesus says in verse 8. There he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Jesus here compares the work of the Spirit in regeneration to the wind. Just as we cannot tell where the wind is coming from and where it will go next, so we cannot explain the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. It is a mysterious work. It cannot be fully explained or understood, but it is very real because you can see the effects. Sixthly, this change is a sovereign change. This is also implied by verse 8. Jesus says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." That word means where it wants, and that is very true. We cannot make the wind blow in one place and not in another. The wind blows where it wants to blow. And so it is with the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. We cannot tell the Holy Spirit how and when and in whom to work his regenerating grace. That is his prerogative. Regeneration is the sovereign work of the Spirit of God. Finally, we can say it is a mediate change. By mediate, we mean that in regeneration, the Spirit uses means. Regeneration is not something that just happens. It is worked by the Holy Spirit through the means of the Word. Specifically, through the preaching of the Word. This is exactly what the Scriptures teach. I think, for example, of the example of Lydia in Acts 16. When was Lydia regenerated? She was regenerated as she listened to Paul's preaching. It was as she listened to his preaching that the Spirit of God opened her heart. I think also of James 1, verse 18, where James writes, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The word begat here is another word for regeneration, for being born again. And you'll notice how this regeneration is effected. It is effected, James says, by the word of truth, by the preaching of the word. Peter says something similar in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. He says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Regeneration, therefore, is a grace wrought by the means of the word of God, and therefore it is a immediate change. Now, perhaps someone says, "Well, I understand now what regeneration is. I understand also that it is necessary. But how do I know that I have been regenerated? What are the evidences of regeneration?" We turn to that under our third and final point. The scriptures cite several evidences of regeneration. Most of these can be found in the first epistle of John, which in some ways is inspired commentary on John chapter 3. The first evidence, or the first test, is the test of righteousness. In 1 John 2, verse 29, John writes, "Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." What is righteousness? Righteousness is perfect conformity to the law of God. The person who has been born again delights to obey the law of God in all things. The law is not a burden to him, it is a delight to him. Not that he always obeys the law, not at all. He often falls into sin, but he strives to do so. And when he fails, he repents. The second test is the test of holiness. 1 John 3, verse 9, John writes, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Now, John is not saying here that the regenerated person no longer sins. The Greek verb here is in the present tense, meaning it is an ongoing action. And so what John is saying is this. He is saying that the regenerated person does not willingly live in sin. He hates sin and strives more and more to flee from it and to put it to death. The third test is the test of love. 1 John 4, 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." The word for love here is the Greek word agape. Agape love is the highest kind of love. It is a self-giving, sacrificial love. It is the kind of love with which Christ loves his people. A regenerated person, therefore, is someone who loves. He loves God above all, and also his neighbor as himself. His life is characterized by love. The fourth test is the test of faith. 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." This, we could say, is the foundational test. It is the test from which all other tests flow. The regenerated person is someone who has come to an end in himself. He realizes that he cannot save himself, and he has learned by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to trust in Christ and to look to him as the only hope and ground of his salvation. He believes that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Savior of his people. The fifth test is the test of victory. 1 John 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." The word "world" here refers to the world at enmity against God. It refers to the world as the source of temptation and sin. What John is saying is that those who have been born again will not succumb to the temptations of the world. He will not succumb to its priorities, to its attitudes, to its lifestyles. He will not be overpowered by them so as to hold them in continual bondage. The child of God will live his life to the glory of God, regardless of what the world may think. He has victory over the world. The sixth and final test is the test of perseverance. 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. As in chapter 3, verse 9, John again tells us that the born-again person does not sin, meaning he does not live in sin. He does not sin recklessly, with enjoyment, with pleasure. But here he adds something else. He says that the person who is born of God perseveres. He will not fall away from grace, but he will persevere to the very end. Now, that is not to say, of course, that perseverance is our work. It most certainly is not. If we had to persevere in and of ourselves, we would never make it. Perseverance is a grace which God bestows, but we are involved in it. God gives us the grace to persevere, but we must persevere. Such is the person who has been truly born again. He is someone who perseveres. He keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. And so to sum up, the regenerate person is someone who does what is right. He does not live in sin. He loves his or her fellow believers. He trusts in Christ. He overcomes the world, and he perseveres to the end. Now, my friends, I ask you this morning, does this describe you? Can you say by the grace of God this morning that you are born again? Oh, to be sure, we do not have to manifest these marks perfectly. Even the holiest of God's people have only a small beginning of this new obedience. But if we claim to be born again, there must be at least some evidence of these things in our life. Is it true of you? Are you born again? My friends, how absolutely necessary this is. Unless we are born again, Jesus says, we cannot enter, let alone see, the kingdom of heaven. You and I must be changed. You and I must be completely transformed from the inside out. If we are not, we will perish. The great Puritan theologian John Owen once observed that people make two tragic mistakes when it comes to their own souls. First, they think that they may get to heaven without the new birth. And secondly, they think that they are born again without a life of holiness. Is that true of anyone listening to my voice this morning? Oh, may God grant that we may see our need to be born again and to live that way until he comes again. Then we shall be truly saved and live in the enjoyment of this salvation to all eternity. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It's a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, or a free copy of the Heidelberg Catechism, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at 403-254-6591. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for the Banner of Truth.